Well, good morning once again, and welcome to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen. And also a special welcome to all, of course, who are listening through the internet. Hope you all had a blessed week, and all the mothers had a blessed Mother's Day. I know I did. I had a wonderful day. My oldest son, Clinton, came with his son Jonathan, and we just had a great day and a great week, actually. Although you do forget how much work year-old children are, but we had lots of fun with him. So praise God. Praise God for grandchildren. Amen. How many are ready for the good news this morning as we open up the Word? I want us to open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read from chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to begin reading in verse 11 to 16. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. This has always been one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I find it very interesting that the Bible says earlier in chapter 2, it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. Do you realize that God has revealed these things unto us? How many of you know all the things that God has prepared? Well, the Bible says that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that's from God. And no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Amen? Just like no one knows what's in Lorelai's heart except Lorelai. She's the only one. I can't open her up. Thank goodness people can't look inside of us. God alone knows our thoughts and our hearts. Amen? But where I want to go this morning is to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to talk to us this morning about the importance of having the mind of Christ. And it says that we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to obtain it. We already have it. How? By the Spirit. The Spirit who knows God, that it dwells in us, knows all things about God, has given us the mind of God. Now, or the mind of Christ. Every true born-again child of God has a God-given desire to be like Jesus. Is that true? We all want to be like Jesus. To live a life that is worthy of Jesus. I believe that's a God-given desire in every true child of God. We want to live a life that is pleasing to God and that is worthy of Jesus. And many of us, without even realizing it, are trying by our own efforts to live up to a certain standard, or to live up to a standard that we think might be pleasing to Jesus by our own understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Many of us do that. We don't even realize we're doing it. And very, very few of us ever reach that standard where we feel, I really feel good about my life. I get that good feeling all over me that I am pleasing to God. Very few of us ever reach that place. And the sad thing is this. When I look around at the vast majority of people in the body of Christ, do you know what I see? I see us so self-centered, spinning our wheels, trying to live that life, trying to get to a place, a standard in our own lives where we feel like we're pleasing to God, where we feel like we're worthy of Him. They spend all of their lifetime trying to live up to the calling that they had received at the first when they got born again. Trying to become Christ-like, but never truly arriving. But I want to say this morning. It is impossible, not even unlikely, it is impossible to be like Jesus, because that's what we would like to be, is to be just like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to be kind like Jesus, and to be like Him in all ways. But it is impossible for you and I to be like Jesus unless we have the mind of Christ. Impossible. Because it is your mind that controls you, right? It all starts in the mind. As a man thinketh, the book of Proverbs says, so he is. So your mind controls you. I don't think I'm sharing any big revelation this morning. Your mind and how you think controls who you are. And it doesn't matter what the real truth really is, does it? What matters to you is what you believe is the truth, what your mind believes is the truth. That is what has the power over you and over your life. The Bible clearly says in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2 that we do have the mind of Christ. Now, when you think of having the mind of Christ, what do you think of? How do you see that? How do you see yourself as having the mind of Christ? We confess it. We believe it. It says it. But what does that mean to you? And it's overwhelming for us to think that we have the mind of the one who created all things, the one who knows all things. There is no one smarter or He is wisdom. He is everything. And it's overwhelming for us to think that we could have that mind. But is that the mind that the Bible is referring to here? Is it we are as smart as Jesus and we know all things? How do you see yourself as having the mind of Christ? What do you see in that scripture? How do you interpret it? Because it's very important. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, you better know what that mind is. You better know what it is you're supposed to have. So I want us to go to the scripture, and I want us to take a look at what the mind of Christ is. If we want to be like Christ, we must have His mind first. I want us to turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, please. And I want us to read in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us first of all to notice the word was. It doesn't say which is, it says which was. Now, why was? That's past tense. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It is referring to the mind that Jesus had when he was on the earth. Jesus was just like you. He took on a flesh body, even though he was God. And he had to walk in this life by faith, just like you are called to do. And this mind that Jesus had was the reason Jesus was victorious. In everything he said, in everything he did, every person that came to him received their healing. Every demon was cast out. Every storm was stayed. Not one time did Jesus mess up and say, "Ooh, I don't know where I missed it. Power just wasn't flowing." Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So what was the mind of Christ? It tells us right after. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's the mind of Christ. We many times have heard sermons, at least I have. I've never heard a sermon on this. We usually hear sermons on the next part which follows, which is the humility part. You know, who made himself of no reputation and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. That is the mind of Christ. No, the mind of Christ is thought he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is having the mind of Christ. Now the word form, who being in the form of God, this word figuratively, it says in the Greek, means having the nature of God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And like I said, the only sermon I've ever heard on this is that in this passage of scripture, it is our humility that is the mind of Christ. But you know, as I was reading the scripture, the Lord, actually it was the Holy Spirit who brought this to my attention as I was just reading through the scriptures. I wasn't looking for anything, I was just reading. And the Holy Spirit pointed out to me verse 6 and said that this is the mind of Christ. And that humility is the fruit of having the mind of Christ. Humility is the fruit of having the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But the problem is we are trying to humble ourselves so that we can be like God. We've got it all backwards. Don't we always get it backwards? We're trying to do something to be like something when the thing we're trying to do is really the fruit of being the thing we're trying to be. Like, did you understand what I just said? I'm not sure I did. But anyways, the truth is we will never be like Jesus unless we believe we already are like Jesus. And until we believe this truth and have this mindset, we will never be humble. Humility, true humility, comes from this truth. It really does. And the more you think about it, you ponder it this week, and you mull it over in your mind, and you will see, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on that, you will see how this truth brings forth and produces humility in your life. Now I want us to listen up this morning. Anytime we do something to make us think or feel or seem more like Jesus, that is pride. What we do does not make us more or less like Jesus. I don't care If you pray 2 hours a day, if you take communion twice a day, if you read the Word of God three times a day, and the rest of the hours of the day you're meditating in God's Word, I don't care. That does not make you more like God. So what I'm trying to say is, do not glory in the things you do or do not do. And too many times we do that. We glory in the things we do or don't do. I don't do that. I wonder why she does that. He does this. You know, we're too focused on, we're still comparing ourselves with one another. That's wrong. That's not humility. That tells us that we're still focused on self. Do not even glory in the revelations you may have. Sometimes that can be a problem. And especially with me, because I'm a teacher, and it first comes through me to you. And I know there's times where God has maybe given me a revelation of something, and I'm about to share it with someone, and I get a check in my spirit. It's like, no, that's not giving glory to me, it's giving glory to you. And I'm learning to hear that. And I'm realizing there is nothing we can glory in. Nothing. Everything we have, even the level of understanding we have, is all by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. And I really believe we need, the more we understand that we are like Him already, the more of the humility we will really understand, the more of the humility, the true humility of God, that we will walk in. And you know, pride is there a lot of times and we don't recognize it. Pride has been responsible for all of the fall of mankind from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree. Why? Because they wanted to be like God. They wanted to, their desire was right. We want to be like God. We want to be holy. We want to be like Jesus. And by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they believed that knowing right from wrong would make them more like God. So by their efforts, they thought they could become more like God. And if you and I really, really, because what this whole sermon is about again today is grace. If you and I really, really want God's grace to flow unabated in our lives in every area where it totally overcomes us, where the blessings of God are just hunting us down, we can't run fast enough from them. And if we want this type of grace without any hindrance in our life, we truly need to understand humility. Not as man sees it, not as I see it, but as God sees it. Why? Because twice in the scriptures, specifically in the book of James and in the book of Peter, it tells us God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 2 now. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus knew He was God in the flesh. This was the truth. And the Bible says in 1 John that as He is, so are we in this world. In Corinthians it says, I believe it's 6:17, we are one spirit in the Lord. I'm going to ask us a question. Do you think it's robbery to be equal with Jesus? Do you think it's robbery? The religious people of the world believe that it is. How dare you? In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, the gospel that really reveals Jesus as God. In chapter 10, I want us to turn there, right after the teaching that Jesus gave on the Good Shepherd. In verse 24, I want us to pick it up in verse 24. Now, Jesus had just shared with them, with the Pharisees, with the Jewish people, the Good Shepherd story. And in verse 24, after he shared this, it says, the Jews came round about him and said to him, how long are you going to make us doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus says, he answers, I did tell you, but you didn't believe me. Verse 26, and you believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither will any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, for my Father, which gave them me, is greater than I, or greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus says, many good works I've showed you from my Father. Which of these, for which of these are you stoning me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, makest yourself God. In John chapter 5, verse 18, it says this, and the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And this is totally backwards to the way God sees pride and humility. Man sees pride. There's a picture of how man sees pride. In fact, it was that pride that crucified Jesus. They esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted as if with leprosy, thinking that God was punishing him because he made himself equal with God. That is the world's thinking on pride. It's backwards. It's twisted. Jesus very emphatically declared who he was. And yet, I know there was no being ever as humble as Jesus was. And so being humble isn't to hide who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am healed, delivered, sanctified, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That doesn't make you proud. That is not pride. That is declaring the truth about who you are. And Jesus emphatically declared who he was. And so must we. John 10:37, Jesus says to them, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Verse 38, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. I want us to back up to verse 38. Even though you may not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now I want us to turn over to chapter 14 of John, where Jesus says something to the disciples that's very interesting. First of all, he is speaking to the disciples about his departure. He knows he's going. He knows the cross is ahead of him. And he's telling them about the Holy Spirit that he's going to bring to the earth. He's going to send the promise from the Father. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Verse 18 in chapter 14 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that what? I am in my Father, you are in me, and I in you. Here he says in chapter 10 we just read, he says that I am in my Father and my Father is in me. He was saying I'm equal. Here he's saying I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Amazing. Now Jesus is giving us the same equality with himself. Jesus has said it. Don't be afraid to agree with what he said about you. This isn't something we've concocted. This isn't my idea or my word. This is God's word. And that is having the mind of Christ, is believing that truth. Just like Jesus believed that he was from God, he had to walk by faith just like we did. And that is the mind of Christ. And when you know this truth, you are not afraid of anything. When you know that you have equality, you are the same as he is, so are you in this world. It takes away all fear. All fear. So what day is it that Jesus is referring to? In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. What is the day he is referring to? Well, just before that, he was talking about sending the Holy Spirit of promise to them. And if you turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, it answers that, what this, it tells us what that day is. It says this in 1 John 4, 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us. How do we know that? Because he has given us of his Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who bears witness that we are in him and he in us. We have no excuse for not having the mind of Christ. He's given unto us the witness, bears witness with our hearts. And this Spirit, it says, that I'm going to send is the truth. The world cannot receive him because it doesn't know him. But you will know him and he will be in you. And he will take all the things that I've told you and he will show them to you. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I've spoken to you. Now, right after, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It says, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, because I'm trying to get you to see something here. Was Jesus righteous? Now, this whole message is really about self-righteousness, if you can see through what I'm saying. Humility has nothing to do with self-righteousness. Pride has everything to do with self-righteousness. Pride is all about self. So let me ask you this. Was Jesus righteous? Absolutely yes. That's an easy question, teacher. No problem. He was all righteous. But what I want you to see, he humbled himself. He gave, what did he give up? His righteousness. And he took upon himself what? Our unrighteousness. He who knew no sin became sin. And because of that, God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above all names, that at his name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords to the glory of the Father. So now let's go back again. Jesus was righteous. He gave up his self-righteousness. Jesus was. He was all righteous in himself. He took upon himself our unrighteousness, and then he died our death. The greatest form of humility in the eyes of God is to give up your self-righteousness. Just like Jesus did, he laid it down for the good of others, for the good of us. You and I must go to the cross and die to self-righteousness so that we can receive his righteousness. He died. He took our unrighteousness and he died. Now we must die and take upon ourselves his righteousness. This is the greatest form of humility. This is the humility that will cause you to serve one another in love. This is the humility that won't be judging yourself with one another. Why? Because you're all sinners. We're all of our righteousness is filthy rags. And everything that I have, the righteousness that is of Jesus, is all of him and none of me. And when we stop trying to earn our righteousness, trying to earn God's favor and to be like Jesus on our own efforts, we will finally come to that place of his righteousness and not my own. So we must die to our own righteousness and receive his true righteousness. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, going back to the book of John, when Jesus was on the earth and the Jewish people were just, I mean, they would have stoned him. Blaspheme. How can you say that you are equal with God? To them, that was the greatest sin any one man could ever sin, could do. But you know, Romans 10:3, the Jewish leaders of that time, they had a zeal for God. We got to be careful. Sometimes we have a zeal, and we see people with a zeal, but they're going about it all wrong. It says they had a zeal for God, but they were so blinded by their own self-righteousness. They didn't see who Jesus was, so they went about to establish their own righteousness and did not submit. There's the word submit, which means humble themselves under the righteousness of God. True humility is not trying to be something we are not, but it is resting and rejoicing in who he says we are. When you come before God, it says, clean your hands, you sinners. What is that saying? What do the hands represent? Our works, self-righteous works. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He will lift you up. God's ways are so different than our ways. The mind of Christ is just simply knowing that as Christ is, so am I in this world. And you need to approach every situation in life with that foremost and uppermost in your mind. I don't care if you've heard a bad report. It's not going to happen to you. I don't care what people are saying that's coming on the earth. It's not going to happen to you. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And there is nothing we can do in the flesh to keep ourselves safe or protected or healthy or healed. It is only because as he is, so are we in this world. And we need to realize that all of us in the body of Christ are one in the Lord. We are brothers and sisters. And we need to rejoice and to encourage each other in that truth. We are not comparing one another. We are encouraging one another. And we are serving one another. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. He humbled himself. It's this humility that will cause us to serve one another in the body of Christ. You know why? Because once you've got the revelation that as he is, so are you, you have need of nothing. There's no real, I don't need to judge you, because I don't need to be envious of you, Lorelei, because anything you have, I can have. I'm not lacking anything. I'm not looking at you, Diane, and saying, oh, I wish I could do what Diane does. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have everything, just like you have everything. There's no point in envying me. You have the same God that I have, and everything I have, I got from him. Therefore, you have it all as well. So, you see, it stops all of that. And we can truly love each other and we can truly serve one another. Because I'm not trying. You see, I think one of the reasons we love to hear bad things about people, because somehow it makes us feel better about who we are. And it's true. Human nature gravitates. The worse the story, wow, it makes you feel that much better. They're really low and we get really high. And that's only because you are not grounded in the mind of Christ. And this is so important that we practice this every day. Every day, remind ourselves, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. I do not think it robbery to be equal with God. And in closing, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and just read a passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which once again shows God's nature, which is so, so opposite our nature. For you see your calling, brethren, chapter 1, verse 26. How that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world. Do you know what the word base is taken from? The word humble or humility. Base means humble things of the world. And things which are despised, God has chosen. Yes, and things which are not to bring to naught, things that are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. When you truly understand that your righteousness is his righteousness, and because of him alone, there is no more glorying in the flesh. And it's this glory in the flesh that causes us to have pride. It's what pride produces. Glory in the flesh. And God says, I will have none of it. None of it. The mind of Christ is to know that we are equal, and that produces this type of humility. Amen? But of him, this is the mind, you are in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It is all because of Jesus. Amen? And it's not got anything to do with you and I. And so what I want us to grasp today is that we need to walk by faith in this. We need to meditate on the fact that as he is, so are we in this world. Because I don't know about you, but when I look around and I see what's happening in this world, it's a pretty scary place already. And if you are not established in this truth, then there's no peace for you, because you're never sure, you know, is this going to affect me? Is this going to affect my children? We need to be strong in this truth that the grace of God, that we might walk in this humility, and God's grace will supply all that we need. Amen. One thing works with another. And so have the mind of Christ. Be sure of it. Fight. There's nothing wrong with standing up and saying who you are in Christ. Jesus did it all the time. He was always telling them who he was. I and my Father are one. All the things you see are not, it's not me that does the works. It's my Father in me. He was not ashamed or embarrassed or shy to speak who he was. And so we must do the same. Maybe not so much for somebody else's sake, but for your own sake. Confess who you are. When you hear a bad report and fear wants to grip you, you say, no, in the name of Jesus, it's impossible for that thing to come on me, because as he is, so am I in this world. And you need to stand up for what you believe in. You need to have that mind of Christ every day and let it control you. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I